Well, hey there, boys and girls. Time for another Radio Fishing. And we've got a special guest in the studio today. A sickly fishing Frank. Yes, sickly indeed. Old radiation, so, you know, falling apart around the edges, that's me. And as usual, I'm in the chair here. Robert's in the chair across me. We have Captain Sandy Melvin, the Boca Blue Boat. He's with Gasparilla Outfitters out in Boca Grande. Very nice place, by the way. And yeah, it's actually nice. I've been out there.
Cool.
And we're going to be talking with Sandy a little bit about his charters, a little bit about his store, and they have a kids tarpon tournament that we want to talk about a little bit.
The world's greatest kids fishing tournament.
You got it.
The Super Bowl of kids fishing.
The Super Bowl of kids fishing.
Nice. I like that.
That's cool. I got to admit, I'm impressed. All right. So anyway, Sandy, you're a charter boat captain.
Correct.
And how long you been out there?
I hate to even admit it, but probably sneaking up on close to 30 years now.
Yeah, I know. I
hate to admit it.
I went past that a couple years ago. It's just, yeah. Oh my God, what happened?
It's been quite a while, yeah.
I tell people, they say, well, Frank, you're getting a little older. I said, well, I didn't grow this white stuff on my face to do snow camouflage for the Chinese-Alaskan invasion.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get much choice in the matter. It just kept coming.
Yeah, it just keeps coming, yeah. So, anyway, Robert ain't got to worry about that yet. Too much.
Young pup.
I know. I wasn't going to say anything, Robert. I was trying to...
Pretty much, it's all coming.
Yeah, yeah, you're joining the ranks.
It's terrifying.
So, anyway, what kind of fishing are you doing out there?
Well, this time of year, you know, snook, redfish, trout, but tarpon fishing during tarpon season.
Okay.
And you do a lot of fly fishing also.
I do quite a bit of fly fishing. I generally let the other guides do the tarpon fly fishing guiding because I'm an old traditional pass fishing guide. I love to fish the pass and the old traditional method. So that's what I like to do during tarpon season, just from personal preference.
Believe it or not, you and I are on the same page.
Yeah.
The only type of tarpon fishing I like to do is what I learned back in 1980. Yeah. That was the first time I ever saw a Boca Grande Pass. And I learned to drift and do all that.
Right. Well, what does it for me is I get clients on my boat that have never caught a fish a lot of times, and their first fish is one of those 100-pound tarpon. And I see the excitement that they have, and, you know, they don't have to be experienced, and they can relax, and it's comfortable, and we have little small restrooms on the boat, and it's just a very comfortable fishing experience. They're 3-hour trips as a general rule, and, you know, and we catch a lot of tarpon, so... That's the fun part. And I let the young, hard-charging guys go out and fight the wind and the sun all day and chase them with the fly and all. And I do it on occasion, you know, but I just enjoy the pass fishing, bringing new people in.
I'm kind of with you on that. I know people don't realize that about me, but I actually learned to fish that way and have been a drift fisherman. Mm-hmm. I don't care what other people do or what styles they have or anything, but that was always my preference. That's just where I learned, and that's what I'd enjoy.
Yeah, I support all types of fishing, too. As long as it's not detrimental to the environment and to the fishery, I'm all for it.
Now, as the year changes, there is so many different types of fishing here, and I think that's one of the greatest things about living in Charlotte Harbor is the variety of fishing. I think we have as good or better variety than any place in the world I've ever
been. Absolutely.
I've never seen anything.
Not to mention 2 hours from Okeechobee.
Yeah.
You know, I spend a lot of time bass fishing on Okeechobee as well. As you know, I mean, a lot of people don't know that we have some great freshwater fishing here too.
Oh, I'm about 20% of our business is all involved in freshwater. We sell several pounds of minnows and shiners a week, and dozens and dozens and dozens of night crawlers and wagglers and all that. But I'm what is it, Lakeport? Isn't that where I usually go over there?
Yeah, that Harney Pond area.
Yeah, I like fishing up in Lakeport. Never done much in Clewiston or up in Okeechobee City. David Hallard, years ago, he owned Osun before he passed away, and he was out of Lakeport, so I just kind of got going there.
I actually keep my Ranger bass boat in storage over at Lakeport, and right there, so when you're ready, let me know.
Kindred spirits.
There you go. I'll actually be going over there this weekend for just a little BFL tournament. So.
Now, I just got a thing from Ken Gabriel. He runs the Coastal Angler, the edition over there in Okeechobee. And he said the tournament this week was bad. He said they're weighing in 10 pounds total.
Yeah, they did a little better than that. A fellow I know from Texas won the thing, and he caught 25 pounds the first 2 days each day.
So really?
He caught them pretty well. And then he slowed down a little bit because the weather got bad. I was actually over there about a month ago for the Costa FLW tournament. When there's that hurricane, right. Tornado, whatever you want to call it, tornado, actually, several of them went through, and that was a brutally nasty tournament. I mean, the wind blew 70 miles an hour on the lake.
And that's a big lake. People don't realize it's, what, 25 miles across?
About 26 and a half, yeah, something like that. Yeah. 750 square miles. And a lot of it's not open. It's, you know, you can get in behind the grass lines and somewhat protected a lot of areas, but there's no bank.
But I've done that on tournament days out there with the lightning cracking, the wind blowing, and you're sitting up in the bow of that boat trying to hold position.
Oh, yeah. It was spooky when that 70-mile wall of wind hit us. So we got a text alert on our phones, and it said, take cover, tornado alert, a tornado in your immediate area. And we're looking around for it, and, of course, there's nowhere to hide. We actually just buried up in a cattail head and hung out, and it went through fairly quickly, but it was spooky.
I've never been out there in 70-mile-an-hour winds. I can't even imagine it.
It was, fortunately, we weren't on the open lake. You know, we were in the cattails and all, and it was just, hang on.
Oh, man.
Unfortunately, it didn't last long, but it did rain sideways for about 3.5 hours. It was nuts.
That's unbelievable.
Needless to say, I didn't catch them very good that day.
Well, I got to admit, I can tell you honestly and from the bottom of my heart, if you can actually just stay in that boat during a 70-mile-an-hour windstorm with that rain going and you survive it, you won.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you survived it. You did good. Now, going around, let's talk for a minute about your store, and then I want to get into that Kids Tarpon Tournament. So, what's up with the Gasparilla, the store?
Oh, it's just, we're doing great. We've been... my wife has actually had a store called Special Effects since I think she started that in 1978. And then when I started guiding in 87, we got married right shortly thereafter, and then we combined her Special Effects, which is a women's wear store. Hang on, let me get rid of this phone. We opened it up into a Outfitters and Fly Shop, and for many years we were an Orvis fly fishing dealer. Now, just recently, we've decided just to strictly focus on clothing and outfitting for people who travel in the outdoors, and clothing and gifts and home decorative stuff. So we're not much of a tackle shop anymore. But
the last time I was there, you were kind of tackle shop with the clothes.
Yeah, we were always very minimal on tackle. It was just one of those things that the majority of the people that came out to visit Boca Grande, which of course is a destination resort, they had their tackle.
Yeah.
And it was pretty tough to make a living selling tackle out there. So
tell me about it.
That's right.
31 and a half.
I know you've been around a long time. Yep. And you have the Port Charlotte market. We didn't have anywhere close to that. So, it's a great place to be out there in Boca Grande. It's a great community. It's very supportive of a lot of the stuff we do. I mean, we've been sponsoring tournaments for many years. And, we do Howl at the Moon nighttime tournaments. We also do a ladies tournament, Howl at the Moon ladies tournament. So, we just try to support fishing and promote fishing in the area. And you try to get everybody involved.
Now, it's called Gasparilla Outfitters, and if you go out there, the neat thing about it is if you go in there and you're looking for clothing and stuff for a particular type of fishing adventure, they can help you with that. It's not just, okay, look at this, it's pretty, you should buy it. They actually can...
My wife
direct you.
My wife specifically loves to outfit women on trips when they go places around the world. She actually goes to Africa every year, visits some family over there, and she outfits a lot of women who are traveling, doing trips to Africa or wherever they're going, and how to pack and what type of things to carry. My wife's great with teaching people how to pack for shopping trips, especially the women, because they're always wanting to take more than they should.
And,
really?
Yeah. That never happens.
That's right.
To me.
Yeah, my wife's really good about teaching them really the types of fabrics that are good in certain areas of the country and time of year and the shoe wear and that sort of thing. She's really good at that sort of thing. So we have a lot of our clients that come in and let her kind of outfit them for trips wherever they may be going, whether it's Belize or husband's dragging them on a bone fishing trip or just to go wherever in Costa Rica, on a trip. So it's good. We do well with it.
All right. Now, let's get into the Tarpon Tournament. How long has the Tarpon Tournament been going on?
The kids tournament?
Yeah.
Yeah, the kids tournament. This will be the sixth year. Yeah, so we've been doing it for 1 year. We had to actually cancel because we felt like the weather conditions were a little unsafe for as many young kids as we had. So we actually have only fished 4 years. And 1 year we canceled, and this will be the sixth year. And some interesting stats in that tournament. In the 6 years, it's a one-day, three-hour kids fishing tournament. The kids are all 15 and under. Cannot be 16 on tournament day. So we felt like if, hey, you got a driver's license, you're not a kid anymore, right? So 15.
Fair enough.
Right, 15 and under. And we don't put a limit on how young the kids can be. We let the parents and the captains of the boat decide how young the kids are going to be. Generally, the cutoff seems to be around 7 to 8. Most 8 or more is usually what we're seeing. And those kids have caught 53 tarpon in the four tournaments that we've fished so far. And those kids have had, the average age has been 11 years old of the kids, boys and girls.
Nice.
11 years old. But here's what the kicker is. The average release time, because we set our rules on the time you hook up from the time you release. Take a guess how long it takes these kids to fight and release a tarpon in this tournament.
20 minutes.
Frank?
I'd say 40.
8 minutes. Average from the time they hook a fish to the time he's released at the boat, 8 minutes.
And now, is that a leader touch or is that actually?
Is the leader touch and grab and release them. When the majority of the times they are, it's the leader touch, but they're generally grabbing that leader when they touch it and letting them go right on the spot. Now, you answer, how can little kids do that? Well,
because they listen.
That's true. And then
a typical male angler, I got this.
Uh-huh. Right. And so far to this point, the majority of the boats that have fished the tournament are the traditional pass guides who use heavier tackle and who know how to maneuver the boat and back down on the fish and try to get those fish released as quickly and healthy as possible. So that's why we really push to try to, the winner of the tournament, the winning team of the tournament will be the team that catches and releases the most fish in that 3-hour tournament. Nice. So it's to their benefit to catch and release them as quickly as possible so they can get back and go fishing. But it also benefits the fact that we release the fish healthier. So, you know, it's a good deal, and we're very proud that the kids and the captains have released them in that 8-minute time frame. Now, as we expand the tournament, which we hope to do, you know, I'm sure we're going to see more guys fishing up in the harbor, more guys fishing along the beaches, you know, with spinning gear. And it does take a little longer with that spinning gear to land those fish. So I'm sure the times will creep out as we get more and more people who decide not to fish the pass and want to fish along the beaches.
Well, and looking at it, you've got a huge area where you're allowed to fish, basically from Little Gasparilla down to Captiva Pass.
Correct. And this is new for this year. This is new for this year, and we actually have.
So you've expanded the boundaries for this year compared to previous years.
Correct. We generally started out around Boca Grande Pass and allowed people to fish up on the hill, basically, because we do fish the tournament on a hill tide, a late afternoon June hill tide,
okay.
And so we let boats go up in the harbor. And then, you know, we decided to let the boats go up and down along the beaches because there's some captains that don't necessarily want to fish the pass.
Well,
and
also, there's certain years where those,
right.
Let's be honest, the crabs flush harder out of one pass.
Correct.
More than the other. So,
and those crabs
cool.
May go out as far as the farthest red buoy. So we extended our boundaries out to the farthest red buoy out into the Gulf. And then all a straight line back to Little Gasparilla Pass and a straight line back to Captiva Pass. So that gives the captains all the beaches of Boca Grande and Cay Acosta, as well as outside the pass and up on the hill. So it should give the captains who don't necessarily want to fish in the craziness that sometimes can be Boca Grande Pass, you know, we don't care. We want you to catch kids a tarpon. You know, we want you to have some fun. We're going to have prizes for every tarpon caught. And we just want to get guys involved and do some good things for charity and teach the kids a little bit of responsibility.
That's good stuff. Well, and it opens up for more boats to bring in potentially more children because not everyone has a large enough boat. And let's face it, those time of year,
correct.
That sea breeze is pretty lumpy, and at least
right.
on the beach. And
right. We have a rule. We prefer to have at least a 24-foot boat with side gunnels on it. You know, we try to avoid flats boats.
Right.
You know, so we're a little flexible on that. If a captain's got a boat that's 22, but it's a comfortable, deep-sided
safe.
Boat, you know, we'll judge each one individually, so we're not going to try to rule anybody out. We want everybody to fish, but we do have to keep safety in mind.
Yeah,
so
safety's number one.
And right.
It's all about the children first.
Exactly. So we try to bear with everybody, and we haven't had any issues. We've had some great participation from a lot of people, and actually for last year, for the first time, a captain in a bay boat actually won the tournament last year. You know, the first few years it was won by pass fishermen, but last year a captain, Matt Haig, who I believe is from
Matt Haig very well.
Right, Pat and Matt came in and fished with a team from Moffitt Cancer Center last year and caught the first two that we caught last year.
Nice.
And won the tournament. So we were proud of him to do that, and appreciate his participation, and just hope to see more guys that want to fish, you know, in the bay boat side of things get involved.
Well, and people should get more involved with the kids. I mean, there's less and less stuff out there for children in general, let alone outdoor stuff because of the people are so over-guarded about their children.
Right.
They would rather have the TV or the computer or video game do the babysitting for them. So anything that involves the children and getting them outdoors excited about things is just
it's
extremely beneficial.
We give some great prizes in this thing. I mean, we try to keep things with an educational bent to it as much as possible, but we gave the winning team of kids and the captain last year an Apple iPad, an $800 Apple iPad. Each kid got an iPad. We were able to give the second place team got a GoPro video camera. Captain and the anglers, each one got their own video GoPro video camera. And then we may have to order a few more this year because they were real popular. But the third place team got Beats by Dre earphones. That seemed to be really popular with the kids. The kids always one of those Beats by Dre earphones.
I have no idea. They're
cordless
headphones.
They look just like these. They're just old school. They're red. They're yellow. They're white.
They sync to your phone and play your Pandora, whatever your music is.
Yeah, they're built-in Bluetooth. Everything's wireless.
Kids really like that. And, of course, now all those things are done by sponsors, you know, and people who support the event. And
So that's pretty cool.
The kicker about our tournament is, and makes it different, is, you know, you may wonder, what does it cost to fish this tournament? It's a $1,000 charitable donation for your team of four kids to fish the tournament. So the kids that get their team together and don't have a sponsor, they'll go out to a business and find a sponsor and then enter the tournament. We, in turn, give the entire $1,000 away to our charities. We don't make a dime. We're a Florida 501c3 nonprofit, and we don't take any money out of any of
that. Who are you giving the money to?
Well, we're giving the money to All Children's Hospital, specifically their music therapy program, which is a program that helps these young kids at All Children's that are facing some serious illness and maybe in pain. They'll bring in musicians to play a guitar for them, or they may wheel a jukebox into their hospital room, let them pick out the music that they like, and it's a hands-on program. We decided that since we're only able to donate somewhere between $6,000 and $10,000 per charity each year, we didn't want to give the money to the full, you know, All Children's Hospital corporate conglomerate, which, of course, they're doing good things, but we wanted to make direct impact. So we chose the music therapy program because that's a specific program within All Children's that didn't really have much of a budget.
Right.
So we come in there and pop them with, you know, $8,000 or whatever it was we gave them last year, which was pretty close, I think. And now they can bring in those musicians, come in, and those kids can play a guitar and they can learn how to strum a chord. Gives them a little time away to deal with the injuries, with the issues they're facing.
Takes the mind off of something, but it's an actual physical.
Exactly. It's a great program. It's proven to help them with their pain, and it's a hands-on program that we felt like was a good thing to support. We also give money to the Englewood Community Care Clinic, which is the free clinic in Englewood, where uninsured or, you know, people that can walk in off the streets and get in there and get some medical care that maybe they wouldn't get if they felt like they needed to go to the hospital or whatever, they can go.
Right.
So we donate money to the Englewood Community Care Clinic. We also donate money to Moffitt Cancer Center up in Tampa, because a lot of people from this area go to Moffitt.
And that's a good place.
Yes.
I know if I would get cancer here, I'm going to Moffitt.
Right.
There's no place around this town I'm going.
They do some great things up there, and we're happy to. We've been supporting them since day one. We had some cancer issues in my wife's family and all, and that was one of the reasons why we chose them early. And there again, we chose a specific program up there. We chose the Families First program, which didn't have much of a budget when we went first into it, and we've given them enough money now where they could buy a van and buy all kinds of backpacks for these kids. Bottom line, what that program does is it supports educating the kids about their parents' cancer generally. It's not really, the kids are not the ones with the cancer generally in that program. It's
right.
Their parents, and they're young and they don't understand what's going on. This program educates the kids. Or if you have a situation like a working class mom, husband's a contractor or whatever, and can't come off, and she needs to have a chemo treatment. You know, she's got two little young kids, 3 or 4 years old, and she needs to have her chemo treatment for breast cancer. What does she do with her kids that day? This program will take the kids to the zoo, take them out to lunch, spend time with them throughout the day, and pay for all that while mom's getting her treatments and kind of gets a little break away from the kids for the day, and dad doesn't have to take a day off work. So that's the kind of thing that program does, so we're real happy to support that. And then the other part, educational arm of this program that we're really happy with is a partnership we have with the Charlotte County School System. We sponsor their STEM camp this past summer in conjunction with Lemon Bay Conservancy. And we did a two-week camp for kids from L.A. Anger and Lemon Bay High School, where they came out, did water quality studies, habitat studies, whatever field of choice they wanted to study. In a two-week camp, we paid for the teachers, we paid for the insurance, we paid, you know, the whole expense of running that camp for the county. And these kids have turned around and taken their research projects they started the camp. And I was just told the other day, three of the kids from that camp now have their work in the state science fair right now.
Very cool.
Yeah. And this is a program we hope to expand not only through Lemon Bay and L.A. Angel. We'd like to expand it throughout Charlotte County and grow that as this tournament continues to grow. So, you know, we're real happy with the Charlotte County school system. So we have a conservation education component of our event as well as a charitable, you know, part of our
event.
Well,
and it's pretty impressive because not only is the tournament for kids, all of it from what I heard in some way, manner, or another directly impacts four kids.
Correct.
Which is great.
That's it. You know, and, we want the kids to learn that it's good. It can feel good to help other kids. You know, and you can still have fun, and you can still do all the things you want to do, and still help other people. You know,
absolutely.
And I mean, it even makes you feel better. So that's the message we want to get across to these kids, and then we want to grow it. We want to do more things for the future. There's been enough, animosity throughout the fishing community here in the last 20 years. Well, you guys know we're ready to move forward. That was the impetus for us to start this event. We want to move forward. We want to make it good for everybody.
That's awesome.
The big thing is I've been big push ever since any of the things started about we should be talking to each other.
Right.
Everybody needs to talk and discuss stuff and sit down. I think the only times you really have problems with people is when you don't talk to them.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing in the world. And we got big issues all over the place. The red tide's out there bad now. When they quit dredging Boca Grande Pass, we've got issues with the pass filling. It gets bigger, it gets smaller, it changes all the time. We have so many issues that are going on in the world. We need to be working together, not
right.
against each other.
Yeah.
And it's always a good thing. But going on... what's really been a little weird, just to drop into the fishing thing, was in December we had tarpon in Boca Grande Pass.
Right.
And we had tarpon in the harbor. And now, you know, a month later, it's the beginning of February, and the closest tarpon's probably 150 miles from here. I mean, he's down as close to Cuba as he could get, warming his butt up. It got
right.
cold.
Yeah, it's all water temperature. You know, we had such a mild fall, no fronts, it all came through, and the water temperatures never left below... You know, they never got below 70, and so why would they leave?
It was 80 degrees in December. So
right, they had everything they needed, and there was no reason for them to leave, so they don't. A lot of them. Now, some of the migrating fish leave, but a lot of them stick around.
It's just amazing how, you know, people, we are so used to looking at a watch or a calendar and figuring out, okay, oh, gee, man, it's Monday at 4 o'clock, I got to be here. Oh, in December, I've got to go do this. And we forget all creatures don't have calendars and watches, and they just kind of go by...
wind, moon, and water temperature.
Yeah, that's it. And if they're going to move if they need food and there's no food where they're at, they're just going to go somewhere and find food. But as long as you got food and the water and the temperature is good, why leave?
Right.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So, now, El Nino, this is the coldest El Nino winter I've ever experienced. I've never experienced one with this drastic cold temperatures. Usually we're hot, windy and rainy, but during an El Nino, this one were cold, windy and rainy. I've never seen this before.
But you know, that cold really only started a couple of weeks ago.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I've just
and here we are, February.
And the Peace River running at 10 foot.
Oh yeah, the rain is what's been crazy. It's just the amount of rain the amount of rain we've had this year is just crazy. And I mean, I know I was over at Lake Okeechobee back just late September. And the buddy of mine that I took over had just bought another bass boat, and I was showing him how to run around. I was telling him, you know, when you sat down, trim up, because you're going to hit the bottom. Bang, chunked his prop, you know. And the lake was at 12.2 in late September. It's now 16.6.
Yeah.
So you think about that amount of water, you know, well over 4 feet in, 3 months? Over 750 square miles? That's a lot of water.
Yeah.
Staggering.
Yeah, that's a lot of water.
It's just incomprehensible what... you know, these weather patterns have done. Now, here's my question, kind of getting to Shaw Harbor and the fishing. Have you seen the snook, redfish? How is the cold, fresh water affecting things?
Well, you know, for some reason, the last 2 years, in my experience, I mean, the red fishing's been tough. I mean, I'm catching, a satisfactory amount of redfish, but it hasn't really been good that I've seen in the last 2 years. And, I mean, I caught a couple of nice redfish this past week.
I think satisfactory is putting it pretty politely.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they've been tough. I mean, you have to really pull out all your years of experience to really go out there just to catch two or three instead of, you don't get on that school of where you can catch a two or three dozen at a time. And I mean, I'm sure guys have done it, and I've heard some guys run across schools here and there, but as a general rule, it's been tough. Now,
where's the picture or the video?
Yeah, I got one. I got some.
No picture, no proof.
Yeah. So, what's really been good, though, is the trout. I mean, I've caught a lot of nice big trout, and I don't know if the red, especially here lately, I don't know if some of that little bit of red tide has pushed some of those bigger trout on the flats here lately or what, but the trout fishing has been really good.
Now, have you seen what few redfish there are in the snook? Are you seeing them push more back up inside or maybe trying to get more out because of the fresh water?
I think they're moving right. They went straight from the Gulf. I mean, I think they stayed out in the Gulf and out in the open harbor, right up until a few weeks ago when it turned cool, and then I think they've went straight past the backcountry and headed on up in the river up here somewhere. It would be my guess.
We haven't.
You haven't seen them yet.
The river.
Yeah, you haven't seen them yet, right?
Not in the river, so.
Well, there may still be in that open water out there then.
Yeah, that's kind of what we've been curious about. Now we have the barrier out there for today, and red tide does not stay in anywhere. I try and tell people if you took a handful of leaves or grass and threw it on the water, that's like watching red tide because it all clump up and then all of a sudden it disperses, but it'll be right in front of you, then it'll be way down to your left.
Yeah, it moves around by the tide. Oh. The tide moves it around.
And wind direction and tide have a lot to do with it. So even though today the red tide's really bad, an hour or two from now or the next day or the day after, it could still be there or it could be gone. You just never know because it moves. It's not anchored in the spot. And when you have red tide in an area, it's there while it's there and then it's gone when it's gone. And it could be minutes, hours, days, whatever. But the big thing is, it does right now, it's been on and off now for the last 2-3 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the wind has just made it so hard for anybody to really fish, so it's kind of
right. It's
kind of tough on, you don't really get a clear picture of what's going on because it's just so hard to actually fish.
What's weird is, though, I think it traps some fish in the harbor. Mm-hmm. If they're inside when that bloom hits critical point and starts actually producing the red tide spores, if you're in the harbor, you're kind of stuck there.
Right.
Because you're not going to get through it to get out.
We haven't seen many dead fish inside the island, on Gasparilla Sound and
right.
That area. There's some around the passes, and there's some out on the beaches, and some of the guys I know that are crabbing out there, stone crabbing and that sort of thing, they've been telling me, it's been out there for a while.
Yeah.
It just hasn't come in so far, so we haven't really seen it on the flats yet, but it could happen any time.
We get it comes in on the incoming tide, but there's so much fresh water in the rivers right now, every time the tide goes out, it kills whatever red tide is in the harbor and that close part of the intercoastal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a small amount of time to do its damage.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes in halfway on the incoming tide, as soon as that outgoing tide hits, it gets blasted by fresh water and it can't live in that. So we do have our own, protection system.
Boundary, yeah.
Yeah.
Water.
The problem that we're having, though, is the red tide is caused by over flooding from the freshwater, all the nutrients, the fertilizer and all that run out, feed the red tide and make it bloom. But the same thing that kicks it off in the beginning is what actually protects us, which is weird.
Yeah, it's a strange deal, the whole thing, the way around, and it's all weather-driven, and, well, not all of it weather-driven, but, I mean, that's what really makes it, you put the focus on, is obviously, a lot of fertilizers and all. And I was thinking the other day, you see that nobody seems to know what causes red tide. Well, it seemed pretty obvious to me, and I'm not a scientist by any means. But
biologists say fertilizer doesn't do anything.
Well, every year I can remember since I've lived in Boca Grande in 1982, the years we have red tide seem to be correlated with the years when we have all this rainfall. So, there's
when
something there.
We get a week where we have an exceptional amount of rain, and everything washes off the river and floods all the way down. If we get a little bit of rain and a little bit of rain, we don't really get the red tides. But
it's not
we
a
get
big
this deluge,
right?
It pushes all that stuff out, and it hits the red tide, which is always there, boys and girls. Mm. There's always red tide in Florida.
It feeds the beast.
Yeah, and it just fertilizes the plant, makes it grow. I mean, how a scientist can look at you and say, Fertilizing a plant does not make it grow.
Maybe it's because they need more funding to just be sure.
Yeah, I guess it's that's about it. Heaven forbid it would be
if
a
ever,
funding
if they
issue.
Ever figure it out, then they how can they ask for more money?
All right. Now, just to go over this, the Tarpon Tournament, and we're going to be doing more about it. If you want more information about this, click on Sandy's picture right next to this link or on the Gaspel Outfitters link. It'll take you right to their website, and you can get in contact with them right there directly at Gaspel Outfitters or Sandy's.
And there's always we're working on our – we have a website now, but we're working on a new improved edition that should be out any time now. GasparAllenKidsClassic.com.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to find links off of the Tarpon
for
right. Call you and you can send them to me. If anybody has any questions, we'll get them.
All you got to do is click on these.
Right.
I got the Gasparilla Outfitters logo and Captain Sandy's
already.
There.
Jeez, you're a techno wizard.
Yeah, no, it's all done with the links and everything. It's all right.
Jeez,
there.
It'd take me a week and chase down six people to do that.
All the links are they're already right there. All you got to do is click on them. Any last thoughts, Robert, about the tournament or the fishing or?
Well, I got a lot of questions about the fishing, but. The tournament itself just sounds phenomenal just because there's kids, you know, I'm a big proponent for anything that gets children involved in the outdoors, right. You know, if it just affects one child to stay involved in it, I'm all good with it.
Well, I'll tell you what we can do. One of the things
I love
do.
Tarpon, so.
Yeah, you're kind of the tarpon fanatic. If you want to talk tarpon, it's Robert. I mean, that's his sole love is right there.
Oh, I'm with you. You know, when I first came to Boca Grande in 1982, you know, I'd never caught a tarpon. I was a bass guy. My grandfather had a little tackle shop in North Carolina. I grew up as a bass fisherman. I actually came to Boca Grande as a food and beverage director at the Boca Grande Club.
Here's a question for you.
Became a fisherman.
Isn't it crazy how you set the hook harder on a bass than you do on a tarpon?
Yeah, it really is. You
now,
don't
set
the hook
I
on a tarpon.
I set three times on a hook when I set it, because I still use J-hooks. I cannot do the circle hooks. I don't know how you can. You're a bass fisherman. You set the hook so hard, you're liable to fly off the
other
side of
the
boat.
The funniest thing I hear all the time, and you hear it from everybody, and they just don't quite understand, is that you know, they'll say that when we're out there traditional bass fishing, that, boy, those guys, they scratch off and they set the hook with the boat. I mean, it's even on the Florida Sportsman website, or not Florida Sportsman, the FWC website, that's how we set the hook. That's nowhere near the farther of the truth. I mean, if we didn't have to move that boat, we would never scratch off and move, because those fish set the hook on themselves.
I will tell you, I'm going to believe everything that you believe, but I've almost been run over by guys.
Well, but
setting off.
But you see, I'm sure now I'm not arguing that. They do scratch off out there. But let me tell you why.
A little boat, and all of a sudden, man, all of a sudden you hear that motor fire, like, yeah, good night.
Yeah, you don't want to stop on the bow of a pass guide out there, that's for sure. But the reason, but just so you understand the reason.
Yes and no on that one.
Just so everybody understands the reason why we scratch off like that, though, is we're fishing vertically. Straight below the boat. And a lot of times if we're fishing on the south side or somewhere and we're in 30 foot of water, you know, that fish is only 30 feet below the boat vertically, and we're going matching the speed of the current with the drift. Well, when that tarpon nose into the tide, bites that bait and feels that hook, the first thing they do many times is come straight up. So what happens is the boat keeps drifting and they go up into the tide and they take their line underneath the boat into the wheel.
Oh, yeah.
So what you're doing...
Inboard motors.
Exactly. What we're doing is trying to get ahead of the fish just enough to where the line doesn't get up under the boat, and then he goes and jumps.
Right.
It has nothing to do with setting hook. I mean, if the tide's right, I don't ever move my boat if I can help it, just to clutch it out of the way, maybe, just to make sure he's not under the boat.
You must have a pretty good keel on your boat.
I have about a 3-foot keel on my boat.
Yeah,
I have an old traditional 24 Morgan, you know.
Yeah, I saw it. It's a beautiful boat.
Yeah, it's and I'm actually just spent way more than I should have. I'm totally redoing it for this year. It's a boat, though.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah.
I built out a boat. I had everything all done and put everything into it, and was all that was going on, it was working, and then all of a sudden it just all
well I just
out.
Repowered and got in there and found the stringers bad, had to redo stringers, new deck, new fuel tanks. It never ends, you
that's
know?
The part that it gets me is that I go in just to replace this,
yeah,
and I think, okay, this is going to be simple. That leads to this, which connects to that, which has got, that's got to be replaced, because that's,
if you're
going to
do this, you might as well do that, because it's, you know what I mean, you just, and then
just
before you know it,
yourself, well, I'll just do that now because I don't want to have to do it later.
Exactly.
And,
right,
and then, you know, the couple hundred bucks you were going to spend is now $4,000.
Yeah, it's a 5,000 rule, you know. Anything you want to do, it's $5,000. Just whatever, $5,000. What's it cost? $5,000. Yeah.
Break out another.
Yeah.
Policy.
Fortunately, I've got a great guy over at Boca Grande helping me do this. Tim Dixon, who's a good local family. His family owns Eldridge Marina over there, and he's an old school guy, and he did a fantastic job, totally redoing my boat for me from the stringers up, you know, and just took his time and did it right. And I'm so proud of what he's done with it. So I don't mind spending the money when it's going to be done right like that. And it'll be here long past me now.
You know, isn't that a shame?
Yeah. Well, because it was built a little shaky in the beginning, and it lasted 40 years, so I don't think I got 40 years left on this planet.
I got to tell you, if you got 40, you're going to be way beyond me.
I hear you.
Robert, you might see 40 more years.
Yeah, if I'm lucky.
Yeah, you might do it. So, anyway.
Well, the old Boca Blues out there in the past.
When you sunset like it's my first and my last, I'm good.
Yeah. You know, speaking of sunsets, it reminds me, you know, I sponsor a webcam on the lighthouse. I don't know if anybody's ever seen it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on the Boca Grande Lighthouse, we have two webcams, one facing...
Especially if I want to see how many derelicts are out there for shark fishing.
Yeah, we face... we got one camera.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That actually came out loud, Robert, yes.
We have one camera that faces Boca Grande Pass and another camera that catches the Boca Grande Sunset. And we sponsor that with the Boca Grande Chamber of Commerce. So if anybody just wants to catch a Boca Grande Sunset...
I used to have links to those, but then
Boca Grande Chamber of Commerce website.
I lost them, and I don't have them anymore. I'll try and get them hooked back in.
Yeah, it's a great deal.
But
pretty awesome, really.
Yeah, I had them there and on Captiva, and I don't remember how I lost the links, but all of a sudden the cameras weren't working.
Well, it's a full-time job keeping them working, honestly.
I can't even imagine.
You know, it really is. We've got a company, and we're calling them all the time. They'll go down and do a day or two, and then come back up, because they're out in the salt air elements and all, and it's just, and they're up on the eaves of the lighthouses there. We worked with the state park to put them up and all, and it's just, they're kind of hard to get to, so when they do go down, it takes to get in the ladders out there and the trucks. It's an ordeal to keep them up and running, but we've been very fortunate. It's been pretty much up and running most of the times. So I checked them the other day. They were running good.
I've looked at it a couple times just to see what the wave action is out there, because, you know, that wind meter out there sometimes is blocked by whatever structure.
The Gasparilla drawbridge isn't even running right now. They're
probably redoing all that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but the weather on the intercoastal has been down for a while.
Well, they're just now finished the new swing bridge going out to Boca Grande, and they're still doing a lot of the detail work on, chasing the rats to get all the little things done.
But it's neat because it's beautiful for the sunset, but you can also get a real quick, let's look at the Gulf. Okay, it's blowing, 10 miles an hour in here, but then you can look out there and see if it's a land-based wind or if it's a Gulf-based wind and get a better perspective on what's going on out there if you want to take the boat ride or drive out there.
Yeah, just give you an idea of what you're facing if you're heading to the pass.
Serves multiple purposes.
Yeah. Okay, and... every once in a while I just wonder what the heck I do with stuff. any last thoughts, guys?
No, well, I tell you, one of the things we're really looking forward to, and appreciate you guys joining us, helping us get the word out on this tournament. You know, if you're a local Charlotte Harbor business and you want to support this event, the way you can get involved is to sponsor a team. You know, a team is a $1,000 entry fee to the team, and that's a 100% tax deductible write-off for whatever company wants to sponsor a team. You get your own captain and square away with the details with the captain. If you would like for me to find the captain for you, we just rounded off to $1,500. We'll sponsor a team of four kids in the event, and I'll find the captain for you. And it'll be a licensed, insured local captain, and we pay the captain their $500. Because we know that the local captains in the area here, they only got a short window of opportunity to make a living. So when we book a team, I don't ask them to, I have a few of them that will donate their time, and I appreciate every one of them that does that, but I don't really expect them to do that. I mean, if this is a hill tide in June when we know they can be booked and they're trying to make a living. If somebody wants to sponsor a team, a $1,500 fee is not that much more than the $1,000 deal, and we'll pay that captain his fee and get that team of kids in the tournament, and everybody's happy, and you'll be team...
And the $500 is a lot less than the tarpon charter would cost.
Exactly. It's about $100 less than a 3-hour trip generally cost in Boca Grande Pass. So it's about $100 off.
It's a lot less. So it's actually a pretty darn good deal.
Right.
So anyway, to find out more about this, just click on Sandy's picture or the Gasparilla Outfitters logo there. And in the meantime, I'll bring Frank back with his guitar. And here we go. Any last thoughts, Robert? 20 seconds to kill.
No, I'm all good.
Captain Sandy.
Awesome.
It was great of you to stop by.
Thank you, yeah. And I really appreciate you and Robert getting behind this with me and helping me get the word out here. It's going to be a good partnership. We really appreciate
you coming out here and talking to us about it.
We're going to be donating a little bit to the tournament. I think it's all going to be good. It's going to be a great time. I'm very interested, kind of excited. I like the kids' tournament aspect. I like that you're broadening the base of the tournament out to more different passes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because, there are times when it's the best in the pass and a time when it's best on the beach.
Catch the kids a tarpon and have a good time. That's our deal.
That's perfect.
Do some good things for the community.
Anyway, this is Fish and Frank, Robert in the chair across from me, and Captain Sandy saying we'll see you guys in the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye, everybody.